raiva.
To time for an awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, but we as a people can turn this around." Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get an understanding." Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and listen to the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. And listen to the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. And the live stream is on that location also. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. And there you can listen to the live stream, even into your car if you have the auxiliary connection. It's Time for an Awakening radio program with a live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, do me a favor and hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for Awakening Media. The home page is there also. That should be one of your favorites. If not, do me a favor and make that one of your favorites. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. There you'll see more interesting content and blogs and podcasts of the programs that you can download, listen at later times, or even share with your friends. Again, that page, there'll be some changes to the page coming soon. A lot of different things added, and some of the program content, new program content will be added. So again, make that one of your favorites and put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. That'll take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we're in open forum tonight. That's open forum Friday, kind of freestyle Friday, so to speak. And you can get involved in the conversation easily by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back to get the program started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening, and before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing great, man. It's Friday evening here in the city of Philadelphia. Cool, crisp fall night.
Yeah, it's not bad, and it's a full moon. I like full moons. I'm a believer. I'm gonna let everybody know I'm a believer. Full moon, they bring the tide in, and it bring other things in, and it also brings some light in the dark.
Yeah, well, that was a part of our culture. We knew a lot of those things about the stars and the moon, the changes in the environment and in humans. I think we lost a lot of that, Richard, in the, dealing with Europeans and being exposed to European culture. But a lot of those things still exist among some of our people, the knowledge of the celestial bodies and how it affects us here, it affects our behavior. It affects women in certain ways, You know, it affects the animal kingdom. I mean, it affects us. And we used to know those things.
Makes us see how we're all interconnected, you know.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think that was one of the bases of us as African people creating a social science around that, what we now might say is communal, cooperative, collective kind of relationship. Because looking at nature and imitating and emulating what nature, the interconnectedness of it all, I think that we don't have that here in this under the Western Empire, you know, trying to push this individualism, control individualism at that. It's something I think we have to figure out how to work through and get back to the value system and the social relationships that brings that communal, cooperative, collective behavior so that we can accomplish, if nothing else, protection of our own selves or species. The planet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we were the original people here. And if this environment and this world is to be saved, we're going to be the ones that's going to do it. Because the people that's in control now, they're just about destroying and destruction. It's obvious. And I mean, history bears that out. I mean, that's nothing that I'm saying it might be a false narrative. History bears that out. Mm-hmm. So if we want to change these things, if we want to change history for our babies and our children and future generations, then we're going to have to be the ones to do something about it.
And you know, as Garvey said, you know, we have to look at it as, and I don't know how to use the language, Elliot, you know, but we have to be as our ancestors were. I mean, I think that we don't realize how scientific they were. I mean, to come to, you know, through that observation and experimentation and come to a conclusion that this is the best way for us to survive in a hostile environment. You know, I think we don't realize that for primary cultures, our African primary cultures, that they arisen out of a hostile environment. Whether, you know, I don't know, you correct me if I'm wrong, Elliot, does it make sense? And I may have said it before, and I kind of like saying it. Just imagine being in the dark. And it's not a full moon, what they call it, a new moon. And you got nocturnal animals, ones who can see in the dark that eat meat. Don't you think you have to figure out a way to protect yourself when by nature you sleep in the dark? You sleep when it gets dark?
You know, Richard, and let me say this before I expand. We're in open forum this evening. Kind of a freestyle Friday. Anything on your mind, you can give us a call and be part of the conversation at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. And we do have a caller that's holding. So we'll get to him in a couple seconds. But, Richard, let me to say something on what you just said. Let me throw this out. I might be off base. But I think that our ancestors' relationship with the environment is nowhere near not only what it is now, but what we could have imagined. I don't think that our relationship with what we consider now as wild beasts was anywhere near the. Listen, I think that our ancestors' capability mentally, you can see that it was totally different than ours. It's things that our ancestors did now that Europeans are still trying to figure out. And not only Europeans, that we're trying to figure out because we've been so distant from the mentality of our ancestors. But I don't think that they had the fear of wild beasts. In fact, we were the first to domesticate animals, period. So I don't think our relationship with wild beasts or the fear of wild beasts was at the point now where we can. It's hard for me to put it in words, But I think you might. I think you follow what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, and that's the point. And just if you don't mind pushing that, because that's the point I'm trying to make, in the sense that at some point we became and that's why I call it scientific, and I think, you know, though they try to portray primary culture, African culture, you know, even now when you see people in the Kalahari Desert or, you know, forest, you know, they try to make them, you know, like they're not sophisticated, right? Mm-hmm. But to be able to have, as you say, domesticated, but before that, being able to understand the nature of the animals and the plants and all the things around them obviously took some time.
Well, and certainly.
Even what they gave us as time, said we had enough time to learn how to create that relationship. Because we see, you know, you see the stories of Africans in their tracking, being able to read the signs of each animal's path and what they did in order to, and not just kill to be killing, like they just passed this, you know, Trump, I assume he had to do it for his son, right? Had to instill this tusk-taking bill so that, because his son was, you know, in there taking elephants' tusks, but not killing just to be killing, but only for what you need, and then have rituals thanking those, thanking for whatever was taken to show that relationship. I think that, I don't know if you would agree, I think that took time to develop, and that's what I'm considering as being scientific, because it's from observing and learning and coming to some understanding that they were able to, as you say, eventually even to understand how do you domesticate the quote unquote animal, any animal that they needed, or even the grain that you needed to harvest, or the fisheries that you needed to eat from, the ones that live near water. So that's how I see what you're saying, being the way I see it coming about, and that we had enough time to learn ourselves and them.
Yeah, you know, that's how I see it, Richard. I agree with what you're saying, but that's how I see it. I think that a lot of these things that, and that's a part of what we need to do to kind of retrieve our cultural narrative, our cultural bearings, to know who we are as a people. You know, that's a kind of a popular thing. A lot of people want to discover who they are as individuals.
Right.
But that's a European narrative. I think that we need to rediscover who we are as a people and what we were about. And then we can determine our future and our future steps and what they should be. You know, we're basing a lot of our narrative, some of us, is basing a lot of our narratives on European decisions, and European decisions on what we should do as a people. Mm. I mean, that's a true fact. That's right. Not just my assertion. That's a true fact. I think we'll get into some of those things probably in the, you know, discussion tonight. But yeah, let's go to the phones, and because I was going to take a break. We were on at 8:30, but let's go to the phones. We got a call waiting. Let's go to Colorado Springs. How are you, sir?
Hey, good evening, Elliot, Richard.
How you doing, sir?
How y'all doing today? Starting off good. I ain't even got into it, but I what you said, Elliot, about our connection to the Mother Earth, the natural things, about being able to interact with animals and, you know, nature in a way where we're not fearful.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's a really good way of presenting that type of topic, because for me, I think one of the things I've been trying to figure out how to dialogue about is the need for women to start swinging hammers with us, you know, get some dirt under your nails, because, I mean, nowadays, you know, some, you know, most people, they see an insect and they freak out. And, you know, that's just being very honest. You know, so how we got so far away from nature to the point we can't even tolerate the very things that have to live here and was put here, obviously, by the Creator, since everybody say they believe in God. I'm like, well, if you really believe in God, then that dog deserves not to be treated like your lap pleasure. You should let that dog live like a dog. Mm-hmm. You know, so all that, what you just said to me, and the only reason I come from the heart and the sentiment of somebody that grew up as a, what I commonly hear as country boy versus city boy. And to me, what that just really means, from what I gather, how you're saying we've lost our connection to the world, or how we probably could benefit better living off, you know, some more, I don't want to say meager, because I don't think we were ever a meager people. I think what we understood was I don't need to take more than I need. Mm. And, you know, whatever I'm doing, I need to make sure I'm not leaving dirty dishes for somebody else to clean up behind me. I think we were just that type of people. You know, I don't want to spill oil in your driveway when I come over. You know, I think that's who we are. But we've been ridiculed as a people by public sentiment to tell us that you're probably not doing too good if you don't have, you know, a running toilet in your house, when some people prefer an outhouse. They have the reasons for wanting to do that. Why I know that, because I grew up like that. My grandmother refused to get rid of the propane tank and the outhouse for many reasons. Later in life, now that I'm starting to hear science try to confirm why we shouldn't have toilets in the same area where our toothbrushes are parked at, because all that bacteria that comes out the toilet gets right into our toothbrushes. So all that stuff starts to come back in my thinking when I hear y'all talk like that. Good stuff. I did want to touch on an article you put out. You put out that stuff about the Kanye situation. I was saying this last week when Richard said it. To me, I just see this stuff as a power grab. The face of the Civil War leadership is changing to white women. They're de-seating all the power players. But it's not, only thing to do is changing the gender. They're not, but the agenda is going to stay the same. And I actually came to think about something when a person posted something on Facebook about your article, made me think this might actually be some self-respecting black people challenging Trump, who in return, their seats have been targeted by these white women or these power structures. And they've decided it's easier to move you out the way than to get Al Franken out the way. Because white supremacy, they have to know the rules. If we all agree that white supremacy means white people got to know the rules so they can't be confused. And if they're confused, they're promptly reminded or told, you're supposed to behave like this. And I think what we're seeing is a de-seating of, you know, what little self-respecting black people we do have probably up in there. Being challenged by somebody like Nancy Pelosi, that woman is all over the political spectrum. So I really don't even know what agendas she's ever really been for, other than the upliftment of white women. And I think if we all follow history like we say we do, we should be reminded that that's what happened back during the Reconstruction years. Exactly. Feminism movement got injected in there,
and they stole. And they got upset too. They got really upset.
They fought. They fought so hard. Yeah, they fought so hard that we got Susan, what's that woman that created the Planned Parenthood?
Margaret Sanger.
Sanger.
Thank you. That's who we got out of the result of that anger. They're mad at their white men, and this is a good time for them to get them seats. And the number one target after, if them women take that seat, this is my opinion, if white women take the face of this civil war, this new structure, black women are number one on the target. Basically, they'll trade roles with us, because the greatest resentment for a white woman, as it's been told by Dr. Welsen, is the black woman. Because she can't produce a black kid. Her ideal man is a tall, dark, and, you know, fella and all this. I mean, so we're all following that same logic. It looked like it's really playing out.
And, you know, if I put it in that, following that thought, because I guess I'm stuck on this point. White women and black women was in alignment with Hillary during the first run. they get, I mean, and black women had to be convinced by the black community to leave Hillary alone. And
yes, go, they did. They fought tooth and nail for her.
To go with Obama, you know. So, you know, what you raise is, to me, continue. And they, and then they wholeheartedly supported Obama the second time with white women coming along, thinking that they were going to get after the 8 years.
Exactly. Thank you, Richard. They didn't capitalize then. There you go, right there.
Yeah. And because they're seeing, and we can only, and I, we can only go by the projection, it seemed like white women were more upset that Trump came in than black women were in relationship to the response.
No, can I say this real fast? Here's what I think really happened. White women wanted Trump. Once they saw they wasn't going to get Hillary, because they wasn't going for Bernie. Bernie was too close to us in the public eye. They wasn't doing the Barack Obama pseudo thing no more. They already had made their position. They decided, no, if we can't get Hillary, who we know is a diehard feminist, she's a warmonger, if we can't get her, we're not going to roll with the liberal. I mean, let's just be honest. In history, even like I said, as I trace, I tell you guys this every time I come on, I'm tracing my genealogy, just the oral history tells me what they've been doing to us is the same story we're seeing today. It was being done 50, 60, 100, 200 years ago. Same exact story. Same exact storyline. The progressives come out looking like allies, but ultimately they're just saying one thing and one thing only. I don't like Toothless Willie's way of doing it. That's all they're really saying. And the most dangerous person behind all that, that we don't, I don't even hear y'all talk about it, and it kind of makes me think, man, we're being really hoodwinked. Mike Spence is the greatest threat if Donald Trump is de-seated. And I just don't think we see that. That power play that they're pulling is really with them white women de-seating. This is their opportunity to get back at the whole, both parties. We're going to get Trump in. He's going to create all this mayhem. He's going to, I mean, the man came out and said, I grabbed women by the crotch. You see what I'm saying? He opened the door for them to say, let's leap onto him. He's going to make the sex. Look at who's leading the way. We got Gloria Allred. She has 50 current cases right now. She don't even handle a case that ain't got nothing to do with sexual assault. And she is the leading prosecutor, not only on all these prosecutions. There's 50 other women that they ain't even talking about that she's brought to the table on Harvey Weinstein. And every one of these situations has seemed to be more of a domino effect. And it seems set up. It's a strategic move. It doesn't seem like we're losing the white supremacy. It just seems like the face. Because they started with all that women equal. Let's get paid first. Black women, like you said, black women, the greatest time they got involved was with the Hillary campaign. But they started luring them in, too, with the sexual stuff. Until some black woman must have got smart and said, you know what, no, our men don't treat us like that.
I like the way it's going. I like the way you're presenting it.
Well, I'm going to sit back and listen because y'all made me feel that way. And that's why I listen to the show. It's time for an awakening. Thank you, Joseph.
Okay, Ramon. What did Ramon say? We made it feel that way. Listen, we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. You could be involved, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're in open forum. Time for awakening. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
What is in 1 million brothers and sisters who are tired of the same old rhetoric, the same old leaders, the same old ways of dealing with political and economic empowerment? If you realize that nobody's going to save black people but us, if you understand that no existing political party prioritizes the best interests of African Americans as a collective, if you believe that leadership is as leadership does, and this means that the best leaders for the black collective must come from the ranks.
This is the new word. They got to work that stuff out. But somehow they feel in the wrong way with a gun in their hands. They feeling real independent, but they just pulling contracts with a man. 5 and 5 will tell you it's hopeless out there on the avenue, but if they really knew the truth, why would they tell you? And if they look at you like you're insane and they start calling you scarecrow and say you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have finally quieted your game, or worse yet, implying that you don't really know, that's the same thing they said about us a long time ago. Young rappers, one more suggestion before I get out of your way. But I appreciate the respect you give me and what you got to say. I'm saying protect your community and spread that respect around. Tell brothers and sisters they got to calm that bullshit down. Because we're terrorizing our old folks and we brought fear into our homes. And they ain't got to hang out with the senior citizens. Just tell them, damn it, leave the old folks alone. And we know who's ripping off the neighborhood. Tell them that BS has got to stop. Tell them you're sorry they can't handle it out there, but they got to take the crime off the block. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or start calling you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that white folks have suddenly co-opted your game, or worse yet, saying that you really don't know, that's the same thing they said about me a long time ago. And if they tell folks that you finally lost your nerve, that's the same thing they said about us when we said Johannesburg. But I think you young folks need to know that things don't go both ways. You can't talk respect on every other song or just every other day. What I'm speaking on now is the raps about the women folks. On one song, she's your African queen, and on the next one, she's a joke. And you ain't said no words that I haven't heard, but that ain't no compliment. It only insults 8 people out of 10 and questions your intelligence. 4-letter words or 4-syllable words won't make you a poet. It will only magnify how shallow you are and let everybody know it. And if they look at you like they think you're insane, or they call you scarecrow thinking you ain't got no brain, or start telling folks that you suddenly gone lame, or that the white folks have finally co-opted your game, or you really don't know, they said that about me a long time ago. If they finally start telling people that you lost your nerve, that's what they said about Johannesburg. You ain't insane. You have got a brain. You haven't gone lame. You have got your game. Remember, keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Keep the nerve. Peace.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's a Friday evening here in the city of Philadelphia, and we're in open forum here on December the 1st, 2017, according to this calendar year. Friday, freestyle Friday, so to speak, and open forum here on Time for an Awakening, and you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Brother Richard. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the, you know, it was interesting comments that Brother Ramon raised in reference to the stuff going on with Kanye's. One thing that he didn't bring up, and I'm going to throw into the mix, is how this will affect, and according to, and we're going to get Brother Cam Howard on to give us an update, because he was doing a, he had a press release. There was something going on at Chicago University in reference to reparations and the demand, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I got to look back, Obama and his wife is there to announce the library, their Obama library, and it has something to do with Chicago University. I know it's a demand there, according to Encobra, about the reparations and Chicago University being financed through our ancestors' enslavement. I've seen that Danny Glover and a few other folks were there. So I want to get the Cam back on to kind of give us an update. But we noted that how HR, I think it's 50, Richard, I might have to look back at my notes. The reparations bill was initiated by John Conyers, even though Brother Cam said that he kind of backed away from his own legislation, if you remember,
right?
When Cam was on with us. But that's a question that you had raised and the conversation that we had had off the air, how this would affect the reparations bill that he sponsored, because it was tacit support from other Black Caucus members in reference to the bill itself. So, you know, we see that Nancy Pelosi came out and said that, you know, his demand to be fired, or just, excuse me, to step down. And the other Black lawmakers. Well, let me, because I'll read from this published report, just this paragraph. It says, Black lawmakers wonder why Conyers has to go and not Franken. Calls from the Congressional Black Caucus co-founder to resign has been more prevalent than those of the former comedian to step down. Black lawmakers are hearing growing calls for Representative John Conyers to resign, wondering why Senator Al Franken isn't getting the same treatment. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus have been privately airing concerns about the double standard within the Democratic ranks since sexual harassment allegations against Conyers, the long-serving House member and founder of the CBC, first surfaced last week. Their concerns were thrust into the open Thursday when Conyers' lawyer hinted that Conyers was being treated differently than Franken because of race. Nancy Pelosi is going to have to explain what's the discernible difference between Al Franken and John Conyers, Harold Reid said, Conyers' attorney. He told reporters after the House Minority Leader said Congress should resign. Members of the CBC did not attack Pelosi personally on Thursday, and Representative Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, the highest-ranking African-American lawmaker and member of Pelosi's leadership team, joined her call for calling for Conyers' resignation. But the close-knit group of 49 Black lawmakers is agonizing over how to address the Conyers scandal. They say questions about racial overtones are impossible to avoid as the Democratic debate on how to respond to sexual harassment allegations by colleagues. I think the chorus of people that are calling for John to resign is noticeably larger than anyone else's says CBC Chairman Cedric Richmond of Louisiana in an interview. So, you know, we see that the Democratic the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus, is saying it's a double standard and how Franken is being dealt, and according to Kanye's. I mean, that should be no revelation to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it says that they wasn't pointing out Nancy Pelosi's name in the statements Thursday. They didn't, according to this published report, it says members of the CBC did not attack Pelosi personally on Thursday, but Jim Clyburn joined in with her chorus to have Kanye resign. I mean, well, she openly attacks her own members in the Democratic Party, especially CBC members. So, you know, I don't know what their apprehension is to mention her name publicly. Maybe it's fear. I don't know. But
I'm going to challenge the language for a minute. I mean, my reaction, you know, because the two times and a couple of guests we had, she didn't challenge them. I got the impression, or I'm carrying the impression, she told them, she told Kanye's that not to push the reparation bill because it would be divisive. And there was another, somebody else.
Well, she not only told them not to push the reparations bill, she told all of the CBC members to don't push no black causes or things of that, however she termed it.
Right. So she don't, she like telling them, dictating what they should and should not do, you know, compared to kind of like sounding them out not to do something. And it seems that they've been following through.
So, yes.
So it raises the question, you know, should we let, you know, because what Brother Kim was saying about needing, I think it was 100 votes in order to get the new bill out of committee, and we were trying to keep a tab on how many of the CBC members had actually been voting, but obviously not, you know, enough to actually move the bill out, even though it's enough in numbers to do that. The question comes to me, well, you know, should we give those CBC members a pass to be able to even raise the question about whether something is happening by race when they are, when a race specific bill comes to their purview, they give it no attention. They slap it down. But when it's something that affects them, then they're going to run out with the race card. Should we allow them to do that? And I say allow them to do that in the sense of, you know, that giving it the same weight as when brothers and sisters are shot down by the police and we see that it's racially motivated, or when the bombing of or the murder within churches and we see that it's racially motivated. Should they get to be able to say this is racially motivated, but at being in the position they in, never present or push anything that's racially targeted?
Yeah, well, when you say should we, what are you talking about? We as a public or
yes,
CBC
we
members?
We as the black community.
Well, certainly it should be pushed, but a lot of that stuff that they are dealing with is pushed through those other lawmakers, black lawmakers. They're supposed to be the voice of their constituents, supposed to be. So if anything is pushed on the floors of the Congress or Senate, it's supposed to be pushed to your lawmakers. But, I mean, you know that don't happen. But I'm just saying, you know, that's how it's supposed to be pushed. Certainly, we can talk about these issues and should push them among our people so they can eventually push some of these clowns that's supposed to represent them. But, I mean, other than that, you can't go straight to any of those, especially white lawmakers, talking about, I want this, I want that.
Well, I'm just looking at the black lawmakers because they, on these things, you know, like the reparation bill, they silent, they as quiet as a gnat on a piece of cotton.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, every time Cam comes on, we try to get an update of if any new CBC members have signed that bill or signed on to the bill. the number didn't change much when he was on, I think one or two. But they don't seem to have any power with the other white constituents. You know, in politics, when you're pushing a certain bill or piece of legislation, you end up getting support from your other colleagues in your own party, and sometimes they get bipartisan support, especially if it's something dealing with defense or Israel or whatever. They can easily get bipartisan support for that. But they can't even get, I don't expect no bipartisan support for the reparations bill from Republicans, but they can't even get white Democrats to go along with something that they want to push. So, I mean, what good are those? What, you know, come on. You know, it is what it is at this point, especially dealing with them. But, I mean, it's always going to be topic of conversation because something is always going on with them, and they claim to represent, you know, as a representative, so-called representative form of government, they claim to represent their constituents. But by and large, the CBC or those congressional districts are black that they represent. You know, unless they, you know, maybe some of them is rapidly becoming gentrified, but at this time, they're still predominantly black.
Right, right. And I ain't looking for them to necessarily win positioning, even political. And it may be asking too much to present symbolic victories just in them utilizing their platform to enunciate it. But it would seem that it would be encouraging, even if they can't push it, even if they can't win, you know, to provide some, and now it's called race specific, but policies that are specifically targeted to their constituency that got them elected compared to America in general, which sometimes that's what I hear, that if they're going to push a policy initiative, it's going to be something they have to make it America specific. Now, I understand white legislators and congressional leaders and senators, you know, they don't have to say white specific because anything they do is already seen who it benefits. I got that. But it seems that the not holding black legislators in congressional and even state legislators or city council seats in any different standard, but at least be able to, even a loss can be a victory if we can see that it was a loss in our interest. But to see nothing, to feel nothing, to hear nothing, and it has historical grounding, then you wonder. I mean, it makes you have to say, well, who do you represent? What are you there for?
Yeah, well, we're gonna get Brother Cam on to kind of give us an update on a lot of these things and how it affects. Listen, I know it's not going to affect those brothers and sisters in Cobra and September 12th movement and other Sister Duarte that's on that UN Council. I know it's not going to affect their stance on what they're doing and pushing for reparations, and it shouldn't. You know, the dedication of those brothers and sisters is there. But just asking him how it's going to affect these things. Those are questions that we'll get Brother Cam on to with us next Friday, or I'll find his earliest available time where he can come on and give us an update. Let me transition over to the NFL, Richard, and the stuff going on. You know, they had that meeting about 3 weeks ago when they called the players in. You could see that Colin Kaepernick wasn't invited to the meeting. They did call players in. One of the leaders of the group was the safety here for the Philadelphia Eagles that was a part of that group that went in to talk with owners. And after the owners left, it was leaked out comments made by some of the owners. The Houston Texans owner was one of the main comments that was made public about They don't intend to let the inmates run the prison. And some of the players got upset. You know, I think some of the players know who they're dealing with. And according to this article, well, let me read from this published report, because, you know, when we talked about the players and it was mentioned that Jenkins went in, I had mentioned publicly on the air that I smelled a rat with Jenkins. And listen, we live in Philadelphia. I see the guy, you know, I've seen him here. He's been with this team now for about 4 years. And I don't see him speaking out on any issues. The next thing you know, I've seen him raising black gloves. So, raising his fist.
Yeah,
it made me kind of still wonder about the guy. But let me read from this published report and then let the listening audience kind of put together their assessment. I know we're going to get Brother Joe. He'll probably be calling in to weigh in on this issue, because we talked about it before. A lot of this start coming out now. But let me read from this published report here from Black Sports Online. An article by Robert Lintel, Latal. It says NFL offers $100 million to Malcolm Jenkins for him to end NFL protests. When in doubt, throw money at it. The NFL doesn't want players protesting, and it looks like they have a couple of players willing to switch sides if the dollar amount is large enough. ESPN reported that the NFL submitted to players their final draft of a proposal in which the league would contribute nearly $100 million to causes that are important to players in the coalition. Jenkins called it encouraging and said he would consider ending his protests if the NFL followed through on its plan. The San Francisco 49ers linebacker Eric Reed says he left the coalition of players because founder Malcolm Jenkins excluded Colin Kaepernick from the meeting and asked if they would stop protesting if the anthem, if the NFL made a charitable donation to causes they support. Malcolm did text me this morning asking if we would be comfortable ending our demonstrations if the NFL made a donation, Reed said on Wednesday. At that point, that was the last straw for me. He had a conversation with the NFL. We agreed that multiple people would be part of the conversations with the league, so it just wouldn't be him. He didn't stand to keep his word on that. At no point did we ever communicate any agreement with the NFL to end protests. Eric Reed and Miami Dolphins safety Michael Thomas both sent tweets on Wednesday morning saying they're leaving the coalition because they didn't believe Jenkins and former receiver Anquan Boldin, the co-founder, shared their interests. I haven't been satisfied with the structure of the coalition or the communications Malcolm had been having with the NFL on his own, speaking on behalf of protesting players when he doesn't protest, Reed said, referring to Jenkins raising his fist instead of kneeling during the anthem. We communicated these concerns to him numerous times, and he had numerous phone calls about it. Our concerns haven't been reflected on how the organization is being run, so I felt like I needed to make that departure from it. Divide and conquer has always been a strategy that they use for centuries. So we see some players got their head on their shoulders straight and realized that they had a Judas Iscariot, a rat, or however you want to put among them, a collaborator among them, and called him out on it and said that they talked to him several times and he agreed to them, according to this published report, that he wouldn't have one-on-one communications with this league, which translates to white owners. Because there ain't no black NFL owners. But he didn't keep his word. And they've been negotiating with him personally. So we see what's going on, Richard.
Now let me ask you something, Craig. And I apologize to the audience for my stupidity and ignorance on this. The brother that did this fisting, is he an Eagles player?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, he wasn't kneeling. Just like now, I didn't realize that the players didn't even think that he was protesting. According to this published report, Reed said, I don't think he was protesting. He said he raising the fist. He wasn't kneeling. So they didn't even consider him protesting.
And the reason I raise it because, you know, Philadelphia has this also has this culture of being able to signal this person out that could speak with, and I'm going to say it this way, white power, like he or she is the representative of the group. But then find out they really ain't representing the group, they representing white power.
And well, that's how it always spins out, Richard. And white folks use that against us when they can get collaborators to go against what the majority of people want. Whether you put a black face on white power dealing with Barack Obama or dealing with these sports players and you're talking about Malcolm Jenkins, it's all the same. It's all the same suit. It's just a different person wearing it. It's all the same.
And I wonder if this here, you know, is this how this is unfolding for the younger players? Because after Kavanaugh, you've seen Kavanaugh, you've seen a lot of the younger players, and you know, really before, but symbolically for me, you've seen them taking these kind of stands in their respected field. So seeing the politics, I guess I'm asking, are they seeing in this incident the politics that is playing out in relationship to a spokesperson of the group and a spokesperson for white power?
Well, I don't know how I don't know how the younger players, the NFL structure is a little bit different than other leagues, the NBA or whatever. They'll sign a contract, and if they sign a five-year deal, then they get paid for 5 years. The NFL is different. You basically got a year-to-year contract, and you can be let go. Unless you got a signing bonus and they got to pay. So usually you're going to have veterans speaking out, NFL veterans that have years in the league, that have bonus money that they owe. That's why you don't usually see younger players, 1 or 2 years experience, speaking out in the NFL because they can be gone and they know it. That doesn't mean that they can't back some of these other veterans either in the support financially or behind the scenes. They can back these guys. They ain't stupid. They see what's going on. But let me pull in the caller. 215, join the conversation.
Hey, Brother Elliot, how you doing, man?
Hey, sir, how you doing?
I'm fine. Hey, Brother Richard, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing now?
I'm doing fine.
Well, Brother Joe, listen, before I just want to throw this out here.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
You see that some of these other players didn't even believe that he was even protesting. And then let me read again what this safety says. Hold it. Let me find it. Give me a second here. This is Eric Reed speaking. No, Michael Thomas of the Dolphins. He said, I haven't been satisfied with the structure of the coalition or his communications, or the communications that Malcolm Jenkins had been having with the NFL on his own, speaking on behalf of protesting players that he doesn't even protest, Reed says, referring to Jenkins raising his fist instead of kneeling during the anthem. So they didn't even consider him protesting, Richard. I mean, Brother Joe.
And you know, I'm glad you raised that, Ella, because as I was sharing with you earlier, it's another brother. He's a lineman for the LA Chargers, you know, who just beat the Cowboys on Misgivings Day this past Thursday, much to my chagrin. But you know, anyway, this brother he was clear. He said he ain't down with Malcolm Jenkins doing either. I forgot the brother's name. Maybe you can Google him up and see he plays for the Chargers. He came out. His statement was just as strong as Eric Reed's and the brother from the Miami Dolphins. He made it clear he wasn't happy with Malcolm and that stuff that he pulled. And Ella, I'm gonna say my comments for John Conyers them last, and but I'm so glad Elliot and Richard y'all raising this because the late great Brother Esau, better known to our people as Johnny Sample, as you know, Johnny was a strong brother, Elliot, in sense for like Jim Brown speaking out against injustice. You know, he took a stance back then, and a lot of them stands cost Johnny money. And I'm granted, they wasn't making the kind of money they're making now, but it still cost Johnny money and stuff like that. But Johnny stuck to his principles. And I bring up Brother Johnny because you see, like you said, Ellie, you hit the nail on the head. When you see what Malcolm Jenkins is doing, he purposely letting himself be used by these white folks, like you say, they divide and conquer. Because remember the late, great Gene Upshaw, Elliot?
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame offensive lineman for the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
The head of the Players Union. Well, that's why a lot of the brothers lost respect for him, because you know, he was supposed to be representing the players and stuff, looking out for the benefit of the players, whether they be black, white, whatever. But he was so busy fraternizing. Now, he's supposed to be the union head, but he's fraternizing with the white owners. I mean, he was buddy-buddy with them guys. That's why the NFL to this day, Elliot, and I'm glad you pointed that out to Brother Richard and the listener, and the Time from the Wake and listener, it is. Like you said, in baseball, basketball, and hockey, if you sign a 5 or 10 year deal for $30 million, you won't get that.
Mm-hmm.
But in football, if you sign a 5 year deal, say if the total of the contract is for $60 million, like you said, you can be cut after the first year. Only thing that's guaranteed is your signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of them players try to get that money up front and stuff like that. And it's because of Gene Upshaw why they got the worst damn contract in sports now, because he was such a sellout Negro. I mean, I hate to speak ill of the deceased, but the truth is the truth. Because Johnny's the trashy him all the time. Johnny's
I know he
yeah, Johnny said, great football player, one of the best offensive linemen ever, but a handkerchief head black man, disgraceful, man. He sold them players down the drain, man. Especially now when you see, in retrospect, Elliot and Richard, you see the CTE thing with all these brothers with brain damage. How these brothers don't have guaranteed money and stuff. Some of these players are broke to this day and stuff because they didn't have guaranteed money and stuff, a lot of them, man. I mean, what Gene Upshaw did was a crime and everything because he was so busy fraternizing, like I said, with these white racist owners, going out to dinner with them, drinking with them. He's supposed to be representing them. You sit there fraternizing with the enemy and stuff like that. And you see the same. You go back, fast forward now to the present time, Ellen and Richard, and you see the same thing with Malcolm Dickens. He fraternizing with the enemy and stuff, man. You know, them brothers, like you said, they're not stupid and stuff, man. Him and Antoine Bolden, they don't realize they're going to be ostracized by them brothers. That stuff they doing, they're going to pay for that stuff, man. You know me, bro, I was trying to give Malcolm the benefit of the doubt, man. But, you know, but when stuff is so clear, I can't ignore it and stuff, man. I mean, that stuff he's doing is disgraceful, man. How you going to sit there and meet with these racist bigots and stuff, making deals, side deals on the side? And you're going to exclude Colin Kaepernick from the meeting when he's the one that who started all this. You know what I mean? Come on, how that look, man?
Yeah, well, you according know? To Eric Reed and the safety from the Dolphins, that it was what's-the-name's decision not to invite Kaepernick.
That is what I'm saying.
It seemed like it was other men that wanted him there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let me read from this other published report, because now things is coming out, and you mm-hmm. brought this to my attention, but I'll confirm it with a published report.
Sure. Okay.
It says, Papa John's blamed NFL players kneeling against police brutality and racism for their low pizza sales. It's coming out that Malcolm Jenkins, who's been accused of secretly negotiating a payout to stop protests, owns a Papa John's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, you did just what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad always said he'd do. You don't take a brother's word if you know I'm credible. You did the research you found on his own. What the sister said on WRD this morning was true, that they didn't sell out Negro, do own a Papa's John's. And like I told you and Rich and y'all laughed and Brother J.D. a few weeks ago, I said, that piece of stinks anyway. That piece of lies anyway. I wouldn't eat that.
I wouldn't
eat that garbage anyway.
And just for the listening audience, just in case, that owner of the Papa John's is nothing but a racist card carrying.
Oh, cold-blooded bigot.
Yeah, so... you know, this
pro-gun, pro-Trump, everything, yeah.
You know, this is what I don't understand. Now, most of the time when somebody gets, and I'm not talking about Jenkins with a Papa John's, but just for example, if you go into business mm-hmm. and you open up a franchise, it's mm-hmm. usually because you want the name recognition of the franchise to help you be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So you see some people that might buy into McDonald's or whatever they get.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Because they want the franchise name to kind of get them off the ground and run it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a professional athlete, you don't need to buy into no, you know, I see like guys like Johnson and them getting Starbucks and all. You don't need to buy into any franchise. Your name, especially among black folks, if you're an athlete, your name is already out there. You don't need our people got some type of symbiotic relationship with some of these whites guys signing big deals with these sneaker companies. Listen here, if you are a superstar athlete and young black folks, young black your children are watching you play, you could get out there with a pair of Bobos on and they'll buy them. You don't need to sign no deal. That's why I got a little respect for what's that guy's name that the white folks hate? The guy Ball.
Oh yeah, I like it for the brother's the basketball player's father. Yeah,
what he's telling his son. I mean, sure, I don't agree with everything him. You know, him being.
But I did what you said, but though,
I'm talking about the business model that he's telling his son.
Exactly.
You wear your own shoes and market them. Don't sign deals with these shoe companies. And these white folks jumping on him, and they use, oh, he talked too much. I ain't worried about all that. What they really want to say is they don't want that mentality to spread to other people.
Exactly.
Because if his sons are successful, and if you notice, they riding that boy every time he steps on the court.
Yes, sir.
If his sons are successful, and that business model seem to be successful, then you'll get other guys coming out of school say, I'm not signing with Adidas or Nike. I'm going to get my own company.
And Ellie, what you said, Ellie, is so profound because even though I'm not a big rap fan per se, and I don't like some of his lyrics, but you know, some of his lyrics has been a little bit more conscious when he came down on the Zionists, is Jay-Z. Jay-Z is a prime example of what you're talking about. He, with his Rock Nation, that's his own label. You know what I mean? He got his own sports apparel. It's under his own label, Rock Nation. You know what I mean? He didn't sign with no damn Calvin Klein or whatever like that. You know what I mean, Elliot? But your point is definitely well taken. So I got to give Jay-Z a lot of credit in that respect. Like I said, some of his lyrics I can do without. But again, like I said, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because some of his lyrics of late, like his album 444, and he got the Zionists all upset because he's talking about how these Jews have got rich, you know, in this country, how they control the banking system. I mean, just by telling the truth, he was called anti-Semitic, you know what I mean? And they told him to take it out. The Jay-Z told him to go to hell. He ain't take nothing out of nothing. And he stuck by his guns, and you see his album is nominated for Album of the Year. And whether it wins it or not, you know, here to there, but the point is he stuck by his guns because Minister Furkan sent him a tweet or something. He said, look, brother, don't cave in. Stand by your stuff, you know, because that's where you could have forced Michael Jackson to take that lyric out of his song when he said, you Jew me and stuff like that. You know, they're the only people that you can't say anything. They can say anything about everybody else, but you can't say nothing about them and stuff because you're anti-Semitic and this. I mean, please give me a break here. But the brothers like Jay-Z, LaVar Ball, and so all these brothers, they showing these brothers and sisters today what you, like you said, what you can do. You ain't got to sign with these white companies and stuff like that. Had this sick affinity to these white racist people. Make your own label. And like you said, when you're a superstar like LeBron James, like you said, the way children in this country, young people, black, white, Latino, Asian, how they admire LeBron. Like you said, if LeBron wore $1.99 Bobos, they would buy them. I mean, that's a fact. You know what I mean? That's undeniable because he's LeBron James. He's a mega superstar. You know what I mean? So they don't have to sell their souls with no Nikes or Adidas and all these said people. Here, when you sit there and like a Jordan, and he's $300 Jordans and stuff, you're exploiting people of color. Because here that devil, Nike, Phil Nike, that's making all these millions off them $300 sneakers. He got some poor black person or somebody of color in some country over in the Caribbean or in Africa, working for 2 cents an hour. Come on, brother. Come on, man. Where's your humanity at? You know what I mean, Elliot?
Yeah, two cents an hour, and the sneaker, make the sneaker might cost $2, and they'll charge $200.
Ain't that something, man? I mean, this white man is something. But this devil is something else, man. I'm telling you, he is something, Elliot. But yeah, I'm glad you raised that, Elliot, because it's something that they definitely need to be, and Malcolm Jenkins need to be ostracized and stuff as we move forward and stuff, man. Because when you sit there and be a sellout, you can expect to get just all the criticism and stuff that come your way. So Malcolm Jenkins has earned that, and I hope these brothers continue to come out in droves and speak out against him, man.
Now let me read from this last published report because this kind of ends the discussion on him, or not ends the discussion, ends his involvement. And this is coming from Omni Sports. Now, the other one came from Black Sports Online. And you see the way they talked about it. But let's look at this Omni Sports because that's a white-backed organization. So let's see. Malcolm Jenkins will end his raised fist demonstrations of the national anthem. Malcolm Jenkins believes he's done his part to raise awareness on racial injustice and inequality enough to end his raised fist demonstrations during the national anthem. The Eagles quarterback told reporter Thursday he would not raise his fist during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner prior to Sunday's game against the Seahawks. I don't anticipate any demonstrations because I feel as though I started demonstrating. My whole motivation was to draw awareness to disenfranchised communities of color, Jenkins told the Philadelphia Inquirer. And obviously, through this year, we've been talking with the league, and what they've kind of proposed, I feel like, has presented a bigger and better platform to continue to raise awareness and continue positive change. Jenkins told OmniSports last month he needed a social landscape, especially within the league, to change in order to end his protest. Jenkins is one of the leaders of the Players Coalition, a group of players' reps who have met with the NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to address social issues. The NFL and Players Coalition reached an agreement on Wednesday for the league to pledge $89 million towards social justice causes supported by the players. Jenkins helped form the coalition. And now, retired receiver Anton Bolden, who believes a new agreement with the league provides necessary incentives for players to discontinue their demonstrations during the anthem. Dolphins center safety Michael Thomas and Eric Reed disagrees and withdrew their support of the coalition because they don't think the agreement reached Wednesday best serves the interests of the players. So we see. And I noticed the spin on how white folks write about it. They give Malcolm Jenkins and Anquan Bolden, who's retired, accolades for what they did.
Of course.
The
of
other
course.
Site basically called them rats and turncoats. So, you know, we can see. Listen, when he started, I think on that Misgivings Day, like you said, George, to take a phrase from you, when he got up there with those paid reports or paid endorsements of the U.S. Army, and my family was in the Army. I could see that. The guy was exposed then.
You caught it, man.
He was exposed.
He exposed himself then. And you know, and I guess, Brother Elliot, it wouldn't be too extreme to say that. I guess when you see Malcolm Jenkins, if they showed it before the game against Seattle this week.
Oh, listen, they're going to make sure. Now, if you notice, Joe, not to cut you, if you notice, the past weeks or so, they make sure that before these games are aired, they talk a little bit among themselves, and they go to the commercial. Then when they come back, they kicking the ball off. So
exactly.
they haven't been showing the players.
That's right.
But you can best believe Sunday, because that game is on prime time.
Yes, it is.
They're going to show the anthem. They're going to show every word. And they're going to have the camera right on Malcolm Jenkins.
And Elliot, would it be too extreme to say he might have his hand over his heart?
Oh, he's going to have his hand. You're going to go from a black glove with your fist clenched to his hand over his heart, and he'll probably be crying. He'll be crying, Joe.
Like Ray Lewis did.
And mouthing the words. You laughing?
No, Elliot, I'm not saying, Elliot. You know what, Elliot? You might turn to be a prophet and say that, Elliot.
He's gonna be crying tears and mouthing the words of the anthem.
Lord help us.
And wait a minute, they'll probably have somebody black out there singing the anthem.
Of course, they always do that. Yeah, that's pretty commonplace now. Yeah, the Athletic Black sisters and brothers out there to sing that garbage song. It's just.
But you know one thing. Amazing. Now the NFL made a conscious decision not to show the guys protesting. But I think Richard's president, Donald Trump. Because you know what? You know, he tweets so much that he tweeted out something that I didn't know. And I thank him for doing it. Because he said, after this Sunday, he said, 25 NFL players is still kneeling during the anthem. They need to be fired by their teams. So I didn't know it was still 25 players kneeling because they don't show it.
He sure did tweet it out. He sure did.
They don't show it. But
I
thank him because he told me that there's still 25 brothers out there still kneeling.
Exactly. you know, when you talk about Jenkins and Bolden meeting with the commissioner, see, that in itself, and I mentioned this on WURD, that in itself is a disgrace. Roger Goodell, that old racist bigot and commissioner of the National Football League, this devil who ain't never, like Johnny would say, never caught a pass, never threw a pass, never made a tackle. This guy is making so much money, Rich. And I want y'all, the brothers, the Herman, to listen on this. This devil making so much money is ridiculous. I mean, like I said, when you talk about the CTE of these brothers getting brain damage, and like I said, how Gene Upshaw sold these guys out. Here, Goodell, in his last contract he had, because they're trying to renew his contract right now, his last contract, he got paid close to excess of over $100 million. They said with his new five-year deal that he negotiated right now, this devil's standing to make over $200 million. I mean, that is a disgrace, man. This devil, like I said, who suspend brothers at the drop of a dime, like I said, he never made a tackle in his life, but he's making artists. Like I said, some of them brothers, some of the best players in football today, I never see that kind of money. Don't get close to it. You know what I mean?
Let me
just go to show you white male privilege. That's what it comes down to, white supremacy. White, and it's the same in the NBA. Adam Silver, the old racist NBA commissioner, he's another one making $200 million. I mean, he ain't making more than damn guys up there that's putting their bodies on the line every night, you know? White male supremacy. Man.
Yeah, well, they figured that he's worth every penny because he kept his black folks in line.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't none of them kneeling or doing anything. The best they doing is locking arms.
You're right, Ellie. You're right. He earned his money for white supremacy. No question about that. And Ellie, I'll touch on real quick the last two things before I get off, so somebody else can get off. Touch on the sex of James Clyburn and John Conyers and the young sister or biracial sister.
Hey, look,
who's supposed to be marrying Prince Harry.
Hey, look, before you do that, Joe, let me say one more thing, and then I lost my train of thought. Oh boy! I just slipped out of my mind. Go ahead. I'll get it back. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, if you think of it, interrupt me if you think of it. Ellie.
Go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, on a John Conyers, it's amazing. And again, I'm not making Minister Farrakhan because he's hearing Minister Farrakhan has faults and flaws. Like, but it's just amazing. At least think when these brothers sell out the minister, their luck goes bad. Or things like Keith Ellison, prime example, Congressman from Minnesota. He was, you know, he a Muslim like the minister, like I am. He was all up on the minister's jockstrap years ago. Loved the minister, came to the final call building, came to this and that, you know, expressed his love for the minister. As soon as he was trying to go up the political ladder and stuff, he went and appeased these white racist Zionists. And I noticed I didn't say Jews, I said Zionists, because all Jews are not Zionists, and all Zionists are not Jews. So I used to make that distinction and stuff like that. You got some Jewish people that I know for a fact, they detest Zionism. Well, anyway, he had to appease these white bigots like the Netanyahu crowd and some of these white racist bigots. So what do we do? He throws Minister Farrakhan under the bus. He says the minister was an anti-Semite. He don't support the Nation of Islam doctrine because it's hateful against white people, calling white people blue-eyed devil. So this nigga pretty much sold his soul. Right after that, Ellison's star started to fall in the Democrat Party. He was a so-called rising star. And then, as you know, Elliot, he was trying to be the head of the DNC, and, you know, they and stuff, and they wound up making the boy, what, Perez. Remember, Elliot?
Mm-hmm.
So his star has fell a whole lot. Matter of fact, Obama didn't give him no kind of play. He was expecting to get some support from Obama, and Obama dished him like he was a disease person and went and supported Tom Perez. All right? Now, again, and I'm going to use Representative Conyers, who I had some admiration for. I met Representative Conyers in Philadelphia several years ago with Brother Rob several years ago. Well, again, Representative Conyers, here's a brother, like I said, I give him credit for putting the bill for reparations forward. But see, again, he did the same thing that Keith Ellison did. Here's a man who has seen Minister Farrakhan speak on many occasions. He has been Representative Conyers was sitting right there, like Dave Richardson would do. He would sit there front and center, right by the rostrum where the minister was speaking. The minister was praising Conyers for being a courageous brother and stuff like that. But somehow, just like Keith Ellison, he let himself be co-opted, and he went through the minister under the bus because the minister was making anti-white, anti-Semitic. This was 3 years ago, statements and stuff like that. And to his credit, when the criticism came down on Congressman Conyers, he did apologize to Minister Farrakhan. So I give him that. He did apologize. But it's funny that right after that, you know, you see all these things starting to come out. Now, I don't know if this is a payback for him throwing the minister under the bus or whatever like that, but it just seems like when these brothers throw the minister under the bus, things happen. Like, same with Jesse Jackson. Minister Farrakhan defended Jesse, defended his family and everything. What happens after that? All this stuff come out about Jesse and his family, his son wound up going to jail. I mean, and yet Minister Farrakhan was the first one to visit his son in jail when he was serving that time in jail. So, I mean, just something to just think about. When you do wrong, brother, you know, your karma is something in life, man. You throw bad karma comes back to you. Now, that being said, Brother Elliot and Richard, I hope and pray to Almighty God Allah that Representative Kanye stand his ground and tell Nancy Pelosi to go to hell. I hope he stands his ground because like you say, when Donald Trump resigned, and Al Franken, especially Donald Trump, here's a man like Brother Ramon said when he was on with y'all, said he grabbed women by the genitalia. When that devil resigned, if I'm Congressman Congress, I say, well, as soon as Donald Trump resigned, I'll resign. But until then, y'all can go to hell. That's right. I mean, but it's always, again, it's no secret of the double standard. And like you just correctly said, Elliot, I get so tired, Elliot, these cowardly black CBC members. They are disgraced. That's why I say the days of Sister McKinney, I long for the days of that sister, man, because these Negroes are spineless. And like you said to Richard just now, why is Richard, why they got to be apprehensive about mentioning Nancy Pelosi by name? Who the hell is she? You know? I mean, it's this racist white woman. Hell with her. I mean, they got to be apprehensive. See, that's why, and you wonder why, Ellen and Richard, why our people in the condition we're now. Because think about it. You start on it, like I told you all the time, on a city level, the state level, and well, she, on
listen,
the federal level.
She's not apprehensive in mentioning their names. She could have said, I think that lawmakers or anybody that sexually harassed women need to step down from their posts. She didn't say that. She said John Conyers need to step. She wasn't apprehensive about mentioning his name.
Exactly. She didn't say nothing about Al Franken. She didn't say nothing about Donald Trump or Roy Moore. You know what I mean? I mean, these people that you know time and time again about they show their racism. And don't forget, Brother Elliot, Pelosi, she was one of the ones that was telling Maxine Waters and all them to quiet down when they was talking about going after Donald Trump for impeachment, remember? So she has showed time and time again she thinks just like a white woman. You know what I mean? See, Ella, it's like the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said years ago on the tape that I got. He said, y'all brothers and sisters, we always talk about the white man, how bad the white man is. And Minister Farrakhan made no bones, Ella and Richard. He said, Lord knows he's bad. No question about that. He said, our proof of our ancestors' struggle and the blood our people shed is proof of what kind of a demonic person he is. But don't for one minute give that white woman no slack. He said, because that white man did not, and this is a teachable moment. He said, that white man didn't come into this existence by himself. He said, that white man came through that white woman's womb. So when you're talking about how bad the white man is, you can't never for one thing underestimate this woman, because she can be just as racist and vile just as her male counterpart is. You understand what I'm saying? Just yeah. Vile and racist, brother. You heard what I said, Ellen Richard?
Oh, yeah.
Make no mistake about it. I mean, don't let nobody fool you. This is not no hateful statement. This is a fact of life. Don't forget, we're not for a lying white woman telling a bare-faced lie on Emmett Till. Remember? That young man, that may have never happened to that young man in Mississippi. She told a vile lie and caused a young man to be brutally murdered. And so, and she was just one of many white women that told barefaced lies on white men. Matter of fact, if y'all see the picture, I don't know if y'all see the picture that it came out recently about Thurgood Marshall, with the brother playing Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie, no.
Well, I ain't going to give away the whole movie, but one of the centerpieces of the movie was just that. A white woman had consensual sex with a black man, and stuff, because her husband was abusive, but because of the shame that she felt that was going to come down on her if it came out that she had consensual sex, she said the white black man raped her and stuff like that. And they was ready to hang this black man, but Thurgood Marshall and his white Jewish lawyer fought for this brother, and they got him acquitted. That was one of Thurgood Marshall's landmark victory cases and stuff like that. So, I mean, we see clearly, brother, that white woman is no joke. Like I say, she's just as bad as her male counterpart is. Make no mistake about that. And my last part on this, I'm sure Brother Elliot and Richard, you've been hearing a lot about this young sister or biracial sister who remarried Prince Harry. You know, I'm going to sit back and enjoy this. Like I said, I'm not one to be encouraging them kind of relationships, but I just want to see. I would love to be a fly on the wall. Ellen and Richard, to see that racist old bigot queen of England, that old, like Dick Gregory, like Dick Gregory's brother, Barbara Dick Gregory, said that old whore that steals and got all her wealth through the blood and sweat of black people. I would love the reaction of that woman, that knowing that, that her grandson is going to marry a woman that's half black and stuff. Because Ellen, her husband, the young girl, Margaret Markle, whatever her name is, Meghan Markle, her father is white Jewish American. Her mother is a show enough sister, Richard and Elliot. Sister got dreads, man. She's darker skinned sister with dreads on. Boy, I can see that old biddy now. When they had that wedding next year, and that sister come over to England and attend that wedding, boy, that old biddy, she may have a heart attack, man. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. Don't forget, to this day, that brother who was dating that Princess Diana, you know, he was Egyptian brother, dark-skinned Egyptian, Daddy Five. His father's, and I agree with the brother, he says to this day, he said, I'll go to my grave saying that old racist queen of England had my son and Princess Diana murdered because she did not want to have a baby, Princess Diana have a baby by a black man and a Muslim at that would have any kind of connection to the so-called royal family over there. And you see that same thing coming out now. Like I said, she might put on a happy face that she happy about it for her grandson, but she behind the scenes, Ellen and Richard, that old racist Betty is as bad as hell. They know that there's a chance that family going to have a half black baby and stuff, whether it be a girl or a boy, going to be a part of that so-called royal family. I would love to be a fly on the wall to hear that bigot over there calling that sister all kinds of N-words and stuff like that. I would just give anything to hear that. But I know that old racist hussy is mad as hell. She ain't happy with that. Like I said, she putting on a happy public face for it, but behind the scenes, Ellen Richard, she is not happy at all.
Yeah, well, I listen. All of that was discussed before this boy even, before they even announced a wedding. So you know, mm-hmm. Listen, all of that they doing that for a reason.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, the children that are had by them, if they have any children, I don't know, they're going to be used to further white supremacy. I mean, Europeans always did that, even during the times of our ancestors chattling slavery. Mm-hmm. They had children by black women and used those children as a buffer between, some of our ancestors and them, and used them.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And in the age where we're symbolism becomes more important than actually as a representation of power, and I say mm-hmm. symbolism as a representation of power. Here you have the symbol of, or here first, a black president who has a white mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the symbol of a America who is the parent, who is the child of England. And here you have, in this moment, you have the symbol of a white father who has, a black female who has a white father and a black mother who is tied to. So what it says to me is that, as you said, Elliot, you know, the symbolically here is they're controlling that. It makes black people who buy into the Anglo or the West or the white supremacist society and pride that we're all coming together. Because on the other side, not too long ago, you had an Ethiopian prince mm-hmm. marry a black female. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear nothing about that Ethiopian prince mm-hmm. marrying a black female, where now you have two Africans representing the only African nation that was able to hold off European incursion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear no press giving that royal marriage any play, but because, you know, whether it be the queen and, you know, they do what they do, you going to have all this. And I didn't know of our religious or ethnic background of her father, but just to even hear that, you know, of Jewish persuasion, it just fits so nicely.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Richie. Your point is well taken. I agree. You both Manelli make some good statements and stuff, man. And like I said, I just wanted to let y'all brothers know before I go. I didn't bring it up as like I'm endorsed now. Because I'm just getting a kick out of it. Just feel like I said, the reaction of that old bigot, a queen. She's one of the most racist, vile people probably in the history of this world. I was just bringing it from that standpoint and stuff like that. But yeah, thanks for the time, man. And
hey, listen. I did remember what I wanted to mention, Joe. The 100 million that's supposed to be mm-hmm. donated to causes by the players mm-hmm. For social change. Now, you can just about imagine that the NAACP, the Urban League, the Negro College Fund, certain people be lining up for the money because the causes that certain players are talking about, for example, if you got players that want to give money to Black Lives Matter, these NFL teams is not giving any money to Black Lives Matter. They're not going to give money to any type of group that is not sanctioned by the government. Because with this black identity extremist, what do they call it? The black COINTELPRO, I don't want to use their name.
Beauregard Sessions.
COINTELPRO already named several groups that is being watched by the government. So you're not going to have NFL players giving money to those groups. Mm-hmm. If it's not the Urban League, the NAACP, the Negro College Fund,
mm-hmm.
and only certain schools in the Negro College Fund, and then the players get the chance to put money because you know it's been some of that money gonna go in Malcolm Jenkins' pocket because the league gave it to him as his reward. If he don't break that protest, because I think a lot of that money is contingent on him stopping the protest.
Got an incentive to get paid.
Yeah, well, if it's more players that are going to continue to protest, then he might not get all of his money as promised.
You make a good point, Elliot and Richard, because I'm going to tell you something, and I close with this. You know, you make a good point in a sense because how these devils do things. Remember a few years ago, them racist Koch brothers and stuff, them two racist bigots and stuff, they donated a bunch of money to the United Negro College Fund, but it was stipulated it was only going to certain black colleges.
Mm-hmm.
See these devils, brother. They never do things without some strings attached. That's why I like what one of the brothers from one. I like what one of the presidents from one of the black schools. He said the coach can take that money and go to hell. He said, we don't want none of that money and stuff. And I applaud. I forgot which brothers, but from one of them black traditional black schools. He said the coach brother can take their money and go to hell. But of course, the mother sellout Negroes took their money and stuff like that. Because whenever them devils give something, like you said, there's some strings attached. Because your point is well taken. They sure as hell ain't gonna let them brothers get no money to like you said, to the Nation of Islam, to 1 million black contributors, to black, like anybody that's outside of the so-called mainstream, you can forget about it. It could be the typical usual suspects, NAACP, like you said, Urban League, you know, certain black schools, just the usual suspects. This is so clear, Brother Elliot and Richard, that a blind man, I mean, Stevie Wonder's blind, he could see this. I mean, it's just so obvious, man. These people, man, they are so fraudulent and duplicitous, and for any black man or women to just let themselves be used by these people. And my last point, Ellen Richard, remember when that devil took office in January, all them handkerchief-haired Negroes from these black colleges met with Trump thinking he was going to do something with them. Trump used them like a wet rag. He used them for a photo op. Some same ones that was defending Trump saying to this day that Trump ain't followed through on nothing that he promised them. I said, what the hell did you expect? You dealing with the devil. What did you expect? I mean, sometimes, Ellie, I'll be asking Rich, I'll be saying, what do these white folks have to do to some of my people for y'all niggas to wake up? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad tried to wake you up 50 years ago and tell you what you're dealing with, man. It's not no hatred thing. It's reality. You know the kind of minds that you're dealing with. Like you always say, when you're dealing with this man, call him a man is a stretch, but I get the point, though. When you're dealing with this man, you know what you're dealing with, man. You know, I don't know what some of our people be. What the hell do these people have to do to you before you wake up and stuff to know what you're dealing with? like the old saying goes, you knew I was like the old parable, Ellen, where you and Richard walking out in the woods and you see a rattlesnake, which is a poisonous snake, and the snake is so badly hurt. But you've been a humanitarian, Elliot and Richard, or myself, so we picked the rattlesnake up because he's in such bad shape. He can't even bite you because he has such hurt. So you feel bad, so you take him home. You nurse him back to health. You give him water, food. And then in about a month later, snake back in good health. So you reach your hand in the cage to pet him, and he bites you. And you say, well, damn, why you bite me, a peppy? I saved you a fool. And he look at you and say, fool, you knew I was a damn snake when you put me in here. No, so it's the same thing when you deal with the white man. You know what you're dealing with when you deal with him and stuff, you know?
Yeah. A lot of us obviously don't know enough yet.
No, it's a hard lesson to learn. And sometimes we go, some of us, Richard, we learn from the school of hard knocks. And for some of that lesson that we learn, some of us, the lesson sometimes, and I hate to say it, Richard, but sometimes the lessons for some of us can be fatalistic, if you get my drift. Sometimes it's fatal lessons and stuff to be learned. When you look at a brother like James Byrd down in Texas, they said his black family, some of his black friends begged him. They said, James, you know, you're a nice guy, but I wouldn't hang around these white boys like that. These white boys are they're a rowdy bunch, drunk. They're not nice people. All these my white drinkers, these my buddies, they my drinking buddies. Couldn't tell him nothing. What happened? He drinking with the same white boys back in night. I never forget, as long as I live, Ellie Richie, drink with these white boys. What they do, they decide they're going to tie this end to the back of a truck. Tie this brother to the back of the truck. You know the story. Drag that brother miles and miles down in Jasper, Texas, all the skin was off his body. I mean, how can you do that to any human being? But when you got a devil mindset, it's easy, you know. See, he learned the painful lesson, and that lesson cost him his life. I mean, he died a brutal death, man. Can you imagine the agony that brother was going through as he was being dragged down, his skin that's pulling off his body, man. That brother was screaming in agony and stuff, man. You know, it's a shame that the brother lost his life, but again, some of our people, Ellie Richard, that's the price some of our people pay, because you can't tell them nothing, man. They don't know who they're dealing with, so hey, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Ellie Richard, thanks for the time, my brothers.
Talk to you later. Peace.
Peace, my brothers.
Peace. We're going to take a brief break, Richard. When we come back, we'll continue to put some issues on the table for the time we got left. We're in open forum. You can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072, spelled new as in numerous, on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
New age is upon us, yet the past refuses to rest in its shallow grave. For those who hide behind the false image of the Son of Man shall stand before God, 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 God. It has begun, the beginning and the end. Yeah. Voice of racism preaching the gospel is devilish. A fake church called the prophet Muhammad a terrorist. Forgetting God is not religion, but a spiritual bond. And Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran. They bombed innocent people trying to murder Saddam. When you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings. Cause Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas I hang with. The guilt of betraying Christ, who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white. Translated in psychologically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology. Glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination. Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sponsored terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still want to take me to prison. Just cause I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking, causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality. Fighting for freedom and fighting terror, but what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart, abused in the marriage, the brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondents don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenin. The innocent screams, U.S. manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams. Media censorship blocking out the video screens. A continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving. The average citizen made to be blind to the reason. A desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing. And the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom. Cause you fucked the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib. Trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid. Where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth and I know the price is my life. But when I'm gone, they'll sing a song about immortal technique. Who beheaded the president and the princes and sheiks. You don't give a fuck
about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch niggas scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill yo, while you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening and an open forum this Friday evening here in the city of Philadelphia at 10:58 Eastern Standard Time. Brother Richard.
No, don't take me to 10:58 now, Elliot.
Yeah, that's right. 9:58 What the heck? Oh boy. Maybe I'm getting tired.
I wanted to raise something. I don't know what to call them, how to characterize them, but there was a group of psychiatrists that just put out a warning about Trump's mental state. Right?
They did. I didn't see that.
I thought, okay, we know, and I know in America, it's had other, I couldn't pull it up yet, but I believe there was other presidents that, not as early on, but declared that they recognized they had some issues, right? But here they say in this here article the New York Times put out yesterday, that I am the editor of the Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. 27 psychiatrists and a mental health expert assess the president. We represent a much larger number of concerned mental health professionals who have come forward to warn us against the president's psychological instability and the dangers it poses. We now number in the thousands. And when I seen that, Elliot, you know, the thing, you know, I said, okay. But, you know, he may be crazy, but if he's crazy, he's continuing on in this Republican apparatus, something to get control over this nation state, this empire. Because I don't know if you remember, Elliot, this group called ALEC, which was a group, the American Legislative Exchange Council. It was some talk about them a couple years ago about how they're in at the state level. They're putting all these bills in that the state Republicans are putting in place, right?
Okay.
To put in place. So you have a legislative lobbying group helping the Republicans in these Republican states take over and push the states in a Republican manner. And people are saying, well, Trump hasn't filled all his posts, you know, his administrative posts. But one thing that Trump is filling is these judicial posts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's filling them in a, like, you know, like it's going, it seems to be going unnoticed. But these guys are put in place for life. And this the Guardian says, if you want to know why Trump appointments to the judicials are so significant, have a look at these numbers. In 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court decided approximately 82 cases. In 2016, it was approximately 69. In contrast, the United States Courts of Appeals decided 52,000 cases in 2015 and 58,000 in 2016. The United States District Court decided 353,000 cases in 2015 and 355,000 in 2016. So though the Supreme Court is the highest court, it's these district courts that he's filling, even though he's not filling these administrative positions. And I would say, I haven't heard people are raising the question, what effect will that have in the future? Because it seems that the people that he's putting in place are these conservative, right-wing judges. So as crazy as they saying he is, that sounds like a strategic move to me, where you got this group on the side giving policy initiatives, Alex, to the state legislators to put these policies in place at the state level. Now you have this president who's putting in these judges for life at the federal district level. And the thing that makes it frightening to me, Elliot, is that they said that this is an article in the Salon that because something that happened in Wisconsin, that basically they're one state away. It says on Tuesday, the Wisconsin legislature voted to call for what is known as an Article 5 constitutional convention, becoming the 28th state to do so in recent years. 34 states are needed, according to the nation's founding document, to launch a process that will open up the foundation of the American rights and laws to revise. And most of these guys that he's putting in these judgeships are, you know, they used to talk about Scalia going on the, not what they call it, the original intent of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for black folks? If these guys who have been stacked these states, which Trump won not by the populist vote, he won by the state votes, right? Who are Republican votes. And they're only one state away from being able to put in place this constitutional convention. And they have these conservative judges that he's filling in the time that he's putting in place. Not to be an alarmist, but don't you think that's something that we should be concerned about?
Well, I think it all kind of plays into the narrative that's kind of been preached on this program, at least as far as us determining our own destiny and establishing think tanks to talk about issues that's going to move our people forward. All of those things, certainly that our people need to be concerned about, because if you know who you're dealing with and if you see him lining his ducks in a row, he's doing it for a reason. So us being a target of these things and a legal target or to make laws to kind of restrict our movements, I mean, you can see these things is coming down the pipe if they're not already here to a certain extent. So certainly, those things need to be talked about. But we need to talk about them in relation to a mindset change and how we're going to move, and maybe not in unison, but how we're going to have some type of operational unity to try to establish some type of format to move our people forward. When you're in war, you establish some type of strategy in order to maybe not necessarily counterattack, but a counterattack, or at least to protect yourself. Then you have, if after you establish that you can protect yourself, then you can establish some type of countered moves or counterattacks. But, you know, by and large, I don't think, I don't say the majority of our people don't recognize it. I think that we do recognize it, but we haven't established some type of way to protect ourselves mentally. I'm not even dealing with physically right now, but I'm talking about mentally protect ourselves. Because if you can't establish ways to educate your children, then you really can't protect yourselves mentally. I mean, other people are educating our children. So they automatically have a foothold in almost into your homes. We got to do these things. We got to do them, or we're not going to make it. And I don't believe that our people are here to be doomed. We're here for a reason. And all of those things, certainly we should be alarmed about, Richard. I mean, we see the handwriting on the wall.
And that's why it's like really, you know, I agree with you, you know, and that's why we have to be constantly in relationship to, well, what is causing us not to get that operational unity, if there's anything at all, or at least separating, you know, metaphorically the wheat from the chaff. Because you see they're stroking the fire for Camilla for 2020. And I just can't see at the national level. And I don't know whether black, the same black populist energy will go towards her as they did Obama. And I really kind of, at this point right now, doubt it. And I don't see her having any really agenda for black people in general. So that means us at the local level have to do that. But the other thing that raises that, why what you said about the think tank, the discussion, the study groups, the communication, because the other thing they're putting in place is this net neutrality, which I know you talk about all the time, what happened to terrestrial radio. But if that bill passed, then once again, it puts the controlling of the internet, which we are in the blog sphere and the audio radio sphere, we're putting out the communication. But if these same few entities, was that Verizon, AT&T, I think one is called Charter, or if they control the backbone to the internet, and then they're going to dictate Google, Facebook, Amazon, dictate what is going to be the content, what's going to stop them from regulating what our content to, even as we have present the facts to the listening audience, of what is coming down or what it does exist, and asking the communities that these listen, that the listening audience represent, to feed back to us, to inform us, so that we can be able to look at it from a war strategy perspective. That it seems that the ruling class is consolidating their control. And we have to be very conscientious in this time around that.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to, I agree. We got some work to do. And we got to be, you know, look at what we've been talking about earlier today, about the how this NFL have been dealing with black players and their concerns about police murder of unarmed black citizens. and how they figured they would stop it by throwing money at it or developing black collaborators to silence the voice of others.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, since chattel enslavement, this is how they kind of decided to deal with black folks. Prior to that, they used to just do it by force. You didn't have any other option. But since we've been kind of moving around in a quote-unquote free society, that's the way that they've been kind of handling some of our people and issues that they don't want to deal with, or they don't want being heard or becoming discussions for public consumption. They silence it by paying off others, mm-hmm. By murder of some of the folks that was out there, Malcolm, Dr. King, Meg Evers, others. I mean, that's what we up against. And we mm-hmm. got to understand that the collaborators is almost as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than Europeans. Because, I mean, you can see them coming. You know how they operate. But sometimes you don't recognize a collaborator. He can do a lot of damage. He can do a lot of damage before he's recognized sometime. I was just reading an article, and I put it on Time for Awakening page, that Rustin. Did you see that, Richard, about Rustin?
No.
That Bed Rustin was, it said that he was being watched by the FBI, but it was kind of making the title was kind of making a joke out of it, that he was already working for the CIA at the time when he is being watched by the FBI, because the CIA had him going to other countries doing work for them. They showed redacted documents how he was already working with the CIA. So, you know, this man that was out there putting a narrative forth of a nonviolent movement, that King and others adopted that strategy. And callers remember when I spoke about Charlie Cobb when he was on in his book, The Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed, the interaction that King had with Bed Rustin when when that meeting was at King's house and Martin Luther King had some guns in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that narrative he was pushing, if he was working for the CIA, that narrative about nonviolence didn't come from anybody. Where did that narrative come from? According to the redacted documents, he was working for the CIA.
Yes.
And they had some redacted documents about him being on the street. I think it was in L.A., San Francisco, or somewhere where he got arrested in 1959, soliciting, you know, soliciting himself to undercover people. And he was arrested, selling his body on the street. So, you know, I guess they already knew that he was gay and they was holding this over his head. But I don't know what they was holding it over his head. But he, you know, they released documents. Because you find a lot of them documents being released now, 40 and 50 years later.
Right.
That he was working with the CIA. So, you know, collaborators are dangerous. I was watching that documentary 1804 when it talked about how during the Haitian Revolution that one of the first ones, Macandal, told the people that if they're going to do this, that they got to first deal with the collaborators. He put them on the table first.
Mm.
So, you know, if during the Haitian independence, it was discussed and became a huge issue about dealing with a collaborator, what makes our people think that now, that those things are not a major issue? You can see it's a major issue. And even on taking it on the level of this NFL, which doesn't mean crap in the scheme of things, but you can see how they deal with our people.
And the media being a integral part of that dealing, because it sets the
Certainly. because they're going to push the narrative of the people that they want to push. Look how they've been pushing this Jenkins up here. Push him right to the forefront. Got him on there making commercials about the armed forces and how he's so proud and this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. And believe me, this, and I'm, because I ain't been watching that crap, but I'm going to make sure that I try to set my, because we'll be on the air at that time, but I'm going to try to set my machine to record, because I want to see, in fact, I know how they're going to do it, Richard. They're going to make sure that they show the anthem that game. And they're going to have the camera right on him.
Where they play at?
They play in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
So they'll make sure that they have, they probably have a black guy singing or a black woman singing the anthem. And they're going to have the camera on him while the anthem is being played. And just like the caller Joe said, he'll probably be mouthing the words, have his hand over his heart, and there'll probably be some tears rolling down his face. Yeah, so that's what we're dealing with. The we see here that Trump is going back and forth again with the Korean leader,
right?
Because he launched a missile the other day,
right?
That went up like 3,000 miles, I think, 3,700 miles.
California, they say.
Well, they said that they could touch a lot of other places in the United States. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, the talk is back and forth again. The name calling by Trump, calling the man all kind of those shorts, midget, or whatever, anything he can do. The man calling him crazy. He's gone. You know, it's kind of comical to watch this clown go back and forth like this.
And no one really knows how serious or not this is. Like, is this television or not? I mean, television, as far as, is this entertainment at the level of geopolitics? I mean, and when I say that, because the media has made it, the media or whoever.
Wait a minute. Say that again, Richard, because you're kind of, your audio kind of got a little scratchy there. Say that. What were you saying?
I said, you know, whether this is entertainment or not, at the level of the geopolitics, because now they've made it to, it's almost like live TV. You know, but we don't know if it's, or if this is, you know, they give us the impression from history with Cuba and Kennedy, or Castro and Kennedy, that incident was a live possible nuclear exchange with Russia, with Russia support as a part of that Cold War. Now, the question is this that, or is this, you know, and you heard that, I mean, the American psychiatrist is saying Trump's crazy. So for a crazy person tweeting at all times of night, calling people all kinds of names, you know, even though he has the possibility to get a command to launch a weapon, we don't know what Kim's mental state is other than what they tell us. But the way they are going, if you're just listening to the language, it's like two children in the schoolyard. But they holding these buttons that will have devastating effect on whoever is caught in the middle. It's not like these ground fights that's going on in the Middle East, where, or even these quote unquote terrorist explosions that are going on in Europe. So many people getting bombed. We're talking about if they lob the bomb, that it not only will it kill the immediate folks, it will have effects on the environment for years to come, regardless of the radius of that. So, we watching this, do we watch this as like it's live TV where you having a spat between, you know, what's that, who is that, Jerry Springer? I tell you how long ago to me, I keep in touch, but how Jerry Springer, you know, and then they would start fighting on it, you know, they start hollering and cussing at each other back and forth about something, then start fighting. But that's all TV.
that's all everybody can sit in the comfort of their home. Individuals can sit in the comfort of their homes and watch two individuals go at it, and that becomes entertainment. Well, in geopolitics, this is not entertainment. This people die. Things change. And if we're just watching these two guys who have this kind of power, is that what we're watching? I guess that's the question I'm asking, you know. And I'm not getting any clarity in what the media is projecting, because it's trying to support what Trump's is. We need to get rid of this crazy person in North Korea, at the same time saying we got a crazy person in the United States.
Well, the one thing that we do know is this, because I don't know the mental state of the guy in Korea. You do have some type of idea of the mental state of the guy here. But we do know this, that America is in that country and been there since the Korean War, and split that country down the middle and set up a demilitarized zone, and pays one side, gives all the benefits and accolades to one side, and ostracizes another. You know, what gives them the right? They tried to do the same thing in North Vietnam with North and South Vietnam. And they end up being kicked out of there until it's one Vietnam again. It's no North and South Vietnam. It's just Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Well, people got a right to determine their own destiny, and however they determine it, it's up to them. United States is no world cop. They think they're the world cop. They think they can tell other people what to do. But you see that a lot of these nations, especially nations where they then went in and split it down the middle, they're not going for this. So when you get leaders that rise up that want America out of there, that don't want the interference, that pursue weapons of mass destruction just like America got, then you're going to hear all kind of, oh, he's crazy. Listen, we done heard that crap from Saddam Hussein to the Ayatollah Khomeini to Osama bin Laden to
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi to, what's it? I don't know the guy's name. I forgot his name. To Ho Chi, all these guys that don't want America in their affairs. These other nations have the right to determine their own destiny. Just like black Americans black folks have a right to determine their own destiny, and we need to stand up. Instead of like watching a tennis match, watching these other countries tell America, listen here, we're not going for this.
That's the strategic goal that we should be continuing to develop. And that's, you know, what Time for Awakening, you know, helps us continue to at least create that framework.
They released a republished report that it's the title is A Strong Evidence that U.S. Special Force Operations Massacred Civilians in Somalia.
Right.
And it talked about the number of these civilians, including children, that was killed, and the American forces were present. And the people came out. Let me read this paragraph, a couple sentences. The U.S.-led operation on August 25th resulted in the deaths of 10 civilians, including at least one child. And it became the largest stain on U.S. ground operations in a country since the infamous Black Hawk Down in 1993. In the operation's aftermath, hundreds of people in the nearby town of Afua flooded the city streets demanding justice for those killed, and the survivors of the farm refused to bury their dead until the Somalian government recanted its allegations that they were members of Al-Shabaab and offered an apology. And these were like, I'm getting a little interference in the background. I hope that's not me. They came out in the city streets and demanded justice for those killed. Now, the U.S.-led operation, according to this published report, was involved in the killing of these civilians. So all this type of stuff going on in the African continent in different countries, you see what happened in Niger, where that young black man was killed with three other white soldiers. So this stuff is going on right on the African continent. What's going on? Where's the CBC to give the black populace here an answer to what's going on? Some of our people here don't care what's going on because of the brainwashing that we have received since being here with this man. We don't see no connection with the continent or its people. Because the man has separated us so in the mind and separated the folks over there in the mind also. It's not just our people here. It's the people that's on the continent. They don't see no connection here. You find some of them that have educated themselves on both sides of the shores see the definite connection. But just the average folk, they don't see no connection. And they don't want no connection. We got to realize, what's going on. If something happens, Richard, and he decide to send soldiers in, whether it's Korea or anywhere else, what do black people do? What do you do with your sons and daughters? You allow them to swear some allegiance to this country and go into service? As plenty of people did it during Vietnam and other. But it comes a time when our people are supposed to say enough is enough.
When you raise that, it just takes me back to, next year is the 100th year anniversary. I think that's the when the United States, the end of the First World War. But that whole leading up, it was a point where you were considered as being subversive if you didn't join, because they wanted everybody to participate. And that was at a time when, the hostility towards American Africans was at its height, and especially in relationship to the South, and you wasn't even able to fight. So here we are now, to the point that you raised, it's in my mind that it could be a point where if we said we didn't want to get involved, we would be round up as terrorists for expressing that this doesn't seem to make no sense to us as a people, as a policy, or as a part of what America should be involved in. But American empire is pushing something that's global.
Well, to be honest, I don't care what America is involved in. I'm talking about black folks being involved in it.
And that's the critical question, because I would say a large part of America, even though you were just speaking about the collaborator, when you look at that symbolically, how many black people are even paying attention to what you laid out in relationship to this ball play that he just took on a leadership role? They said, we're going to pay you off only if you can bring in these other guys. And you said, it wasn't until Trump let you know that 25 was still kneeling. So he got to round them up. The ones who broke away, he got to round them up in order to get this 100 million. How many black folks is in that position willing to do that?
Can I be heard, Brother Elliot?
Yeah. We don't do it. Yeah, go ahead, Ramon.
I'm sorry. No, if y'all still talking.
Go ahead.
Elliot, I got to correct you. It's not Niger. It's Niger. Okay.
Okay.
We need to get that correct. That's the problem with us. We're not connecting the dots. It's Niger. Okay. So that's what they've been reporting.
Okay.
I agree with you. We don't have a sense of interconnection. That's what Dr. Wilson was talking about. If the kid down the street is hurt, we don't feel that. We just look at it as, oh, his parents must not have been paying attention. They, basically we just put the responsibility off of us.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. We don't have that interconnectedness. That's why so many of us can't see the slavery going over in Libya as the very thing that we just got out of, which is just chattel, but we're not out of slavery. So they're not going to connect that because they don't see the chains on their legs and on their wrists. That's what they need to see. All out dirty war. And to what Richard was talking about with the, you know, the rebellious versus patriotic, I was told by my Vietnam stepfather I needed to go to the military or go to the army specifically for discipline.
I thought that was a father's job.
Well, I went there. I can tell you, I didn't get no discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I found that there was a lot of things that I was willing to make them kick me out the military for. It was too many lives. So I actually was put out during the Desert Storm years. So a lot of what y'all be talking about, I can directly relate to personally from my own experience. Just talking about like the whole, how Richard put it together with the reality TV stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great assessment because that's really what we're seeing playing out. They're trying to test people's sensitivity to this. You know, if we see it as a game or some type of television show, we're not going to react like a human is supposed to react. We're going to see it as, oh, that's just blood that'll be wiped up after the scene is over. You know, that's just an actor who will wake up, you know, once that scene is over. So I think what Richard is talking about is very, 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 very true. I did want to bring up something that you actually brought up in one of your articles, Elliot, is when, well, I don't know if it was in your article, but I actually, you know, something made me think about this listening to something you had to say.
Mm.
I'm thinking that the NFL is being, I think the government is trying to buy the NFL. Scotty Reed says something that I never thought about. The NFL signed a contract with the United States defense for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Their only interest could be is to recruit people. We got to go. We got to put it in a populist type of a popular type of venue. And that's the trick they pull in music. Being a music recording artist, that's what I can understand best. You put the propaganda in front first. So in music, usually typically with rap nowadays, they try to put the drugs out there first. In this case here, the national anthem opens up the whole game. That right there sets the whole pace for the fanatics. That's the fan base. All they're left with is violence, wreck things. After that anthem is being sung, what they see after that is carnage. Break things, beat things down. I just wanted y'all to thank y'all, but I want to say this before I go. Papa John's, you already know we shouldn't be talking about that because the reality is you saw me type it in the chat room. If anybody's truly honest about pizza, that's nothing but an expensive Hot Pocket that you buying.
That thing is hard. It's nasty, man. It's just nasty.
I guess Ramon don't like Papa John's. Him and Joe.
Hot Pocket.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, listen. You see what a majority of these young white college. And they didn't have to be college because a lot of protests were going on white campuses. But young white folks in particular, a lot of them was leaving here. They didn't want to go to the war. They was going to Canada and other places. I think when Ford came in, Ford pardoned thousands, tens of thousands of whites that had abandoned the United States and went elsewhere because they didn't want to go to war. So, I mean, these things, I mean, if it happened, these things, and listen, and eventually this country is going to war with somebody. You know it. That's this man's M.O. That's what he does. He goes to war. And it's eventually going to happen again.
The thing is that they're, you know, and this.
And right now it's a volunteer situation. But that can easily change.
Well, but everybody has to be, and that was one thing before, what you going, everybody has, you really have to register. You know, everybody at a certain age, they have to register. So even though it's saying volunteer, you cannot, and I think you have to register in high school. You cannot be without registering. I think that's primarily on males. So it's a thing that can call you, but
as you were using the Somali example, the way they're the way the empire is fighting now, there and Obama really emphasized it. This special forces unit is saying they don't need to have a lot of people, especially if they're fighting other places. They just need to have teams, drones, and air. And I think what was that? Colin Powell said, if you're going to, you know, that whole thing of, if you're going to go in, you go in with the extreme capacity of air power so that you won't have to utilize a lot of troops. Because once you get in, you ain't going to be able to get out. Right. So, but now you can see what they're, and this thing in Niger that they're pushing is special forces. Special forces, drones, and you'll see the technology advance and air. So that's why the Kim thing was the only, supposedly after they, you know, it was the Kim, it was the Gaddafi, you know, as far as nuclear launching capabilities, right? But they're not necessarily worried about Pakistan and India nuclear launching because, you know, they know that their reach is not going to get here. And they don't mind them blowing each other up, especially if the broader game plan is about depopulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would ask the audience to truly look at, to Google, what was the population number in 1900? And what's the population number in 2017? And to see how it has increased 400%. And if you take the number from 1950 to 2017, the population number increase. And I ain't dealing with the question of where, because we know where most of the numbers fall at. But the question of how in just 100 years that you go from, I think it was 4 billion people on the planet to 9 billion people on the planet. And it took all these thousands of years to get to 4 billion. But in less than in 100 years, you more than doubled that. And talking about expanding. And that's at the southern hemisphere. The northern hemisphere is talking about that they're having a fertility challenge. And we're talking about white folks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's American war machine and the American empire has some broader strategic objectives. And you see where it's, you know, you hear under Trump, where did they say they want to pull out their military from, based off of what had happened in 1945, the Eastern European region, unless they're going to pay for it. But where are they putting their military in? The southern hemisphere, as far as they can get, primarily Africa and South America and the Caribbean islands.
Yeah, so it's going to further colonialization, neocolonialism. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. And their only, their major threat is their natural enemy, the empire's natural enemy, it isn't the Arab world particularly, it's China. Which the only one that they're saying, the reason why they trying to convince China to talk to North Korea, because in spite of China is feeding North Korea. But also China controls a lot of America's debt. in bonds. So it's you know, it's this. And what China said is, we don't want y'all coming into the South Sea area doing your war games. And that's what broke down the North Korea nuclear project. I mean, for some reason, after Clinton and them created an agreement with Kim's father to stop the nuclear development, at least on the surface, but when Bush, I believe it's Bush the elder, come in, they stopped it. And then North Korea started working on more overtly on their nuclear. I ain't saying in my mind they didn't stop it, but they were willing to not participate, and they had that UN agreement. But it was after the United States said that they were going to go and do these maneuvers with South Korea in that southern basin, and China said, that's our waters. You can't just come in here.
Well, I mean, they feel so they can.
That's the challenge that we're.
Listen, any other country that wants some type of nuclear capabilities, they want to determine who gets it and who don't. They right. said the same thing when they spread it about Iran. Iran was trying to get nuclear capabilities because mm-hmm. they was interested in preserving and protecting Israel. The same thing with Gaddafi.
Right.
He was interested in getting nuclear capabilities. So they want to destabilize governments, change leadership, kill the leaders of any other countries that want to have any type of self-preservation or protect themselves in ways that they deem necessary to do it.
And that slave thing, I think we had a brother from South Africa that was giving us an update of what was going on in Libya.
Brother Umpapa. I think he was from South Africa, but he was talking about the Libyan situation, and this was about, what, 5-6? I mean, we've always been touching on this.
Right.
Some of our people act like this stuff. People come into my place of business acting like they had never heard of these things going on. Some of our people, they got to wake up and turn off that crap, Steve Harvey and Tom Joyner, with all that laughing and giggling every day, constantly. They ain't talking about a damn thing there besides jokes. And listen, it's a time and place for jokes, but 6 days a week, every morning, joking and laughing when serious things is going on. I read off them stats. White folks ain't joking and laughing in the morning. They listening to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity and all. They listening to their narrative of news around this world that affects them.
But what they call it, their strategic interests.
Exactly.
America's interests.
But they make sure all these Clear Channel and all of these other stuff that have gobbled up all these stations, because the Clintons changed that thing to Telecommunications Act of 1994, to gobble up all these stations and then syndicate in all of these major cities, urban radio, whatever they want to term it, and put Steve Harvey and Tom Joyner and syndicate them in all these cities full of laughing and joking the midday and in the morning. When white folks is dealing with issues, black folks is laughing and joking and hearing Amos and Andy satires and all that type of stuff. People acting on the air like they're gay and homosexual and all that. Come on, man. Later for all that old dumb crap. When these type of serious issues is going on, And it should be some issues dealing with our community so we can develop strategies to protect ourselves.
And the thing that I don't hear on the opposite side of that slave, that Libyans being sold into slavery, is that, and that's why I wanted to bring up the brother that informed us, that those people are being pushed to Italy. They're going to European countries.
So, yeah, they're trying to get there. I put out that article, I think it was earlier this week, that a huge boat capsized, all them sharks, just feasting on the folks that fell in the ocean. I mean, this is just man, this is a serious situation, and been that way.
Right. Right. This is why we have to be doing what we're doing.
And our people don't realize, or some of them do, you know, people still dealing with symbolism and hero worship. But one of the ones that some black folks idolize, he was up to his neck in involvement in this crap. Mm. Obama. Mm. He was up to his neck. Him and that fat, ugly Hillary Clinton.
Which, if they would have left Libya alone, what they're projecting now wouldn't be happening.
And listen.
He told them that.
When they made that deal to normalize relations with Libya, when they paid off the families at Lockerbie bombing, Gaddafi and paid them off, they reopened the embassies, and some of those oil companies went over there to start doing business. Mm-hmm. But then when all these other conversations start going on about the U.S. dollar going to the gold standard, mm-hmm, and things of that nature, centering around the African Union, then here comes this other stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to get them out of there. But they destabilize that whole North Africa region.
Right. In the name of controlling. And they would rather have chaos. Because I heard...
Well, it benefits them to have chaos. Right. Because they can send, they can sell more weapons. I mean, this is a diabolical mind that we're dealing with, man. In the guise of a human being. It's a diabolical mind. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, and that's why it's like so important, you know, what Dr. Clark say about history. I mean, you know, not only do we as, you know, African people, we have to, you know, when you say about history and you say about think tanks, we have to have a strategic interest, you know, and our strategic interest has to come out of our history. Because out of the history, you'll see, and that's, you know, and I guess I'm still reeling, Elliot, in our conversation we had with Sister Dante around, and you had mentioned you watching 1804, because Haiti shows us what our strategic interests historically had to be, even more than any place on the continent. You know, it shows us that and how we're supposed to be building our strategic understanding, even our geopolitical understanding of how we're supposed to operate. So when the question comes, do we support what this empire, as African people in North America, as American African, do we support where the American empire is going? No. And we can have our position of why we don't. And it'll be true to our history. But if you don't know that and you don't use that, you only got what somebody tell you to do. And
yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Somebody, you know, somebody tell you to do.
Got a symbol with Nancy Pelosi. You know, don't do that. Don't push that. Don't do that. And others is on automatic. We just don't say nothing.
Yeah, well, we'll listen to it. You just got to keep talking, putting the narrative out there, and more people will hear it, more people will change. You know, I get so fed up when I hear black people. Listen, I don't mind white folks saying it because they got a vested interest in saying it. But I get so, it rubs me, it's almost like fingers on a chalkboard when I hear black people, oh, thank you for your service. Service to what? Mm-hmm. And for what? Thank you for your service to what? Our people fought for two interests and two wars that was beneficial to our people. When we had a professor of, oh, shoot. Help me out, Richard. From Houston. From Houston, University of Houston. Gerald Horn, talk about our ancestors in that when they got involved in that Revolutionary War for the interest of freeing themselves, the same thing in the Civil War. Our people didn't get in there for no red, white, and blue. They got in there to free themselves. That was our ancestors' interest when they got involved in that Civil War. They wanted to free themselves and use that opportunity to have fixed bayonets and bullets, the ones that had bullets, to fire at whites to try to free themselves. None of these other wars had any interest for black folks. None of them. It was just interest for white folks and big business. And drugs and everything else. That's why they're over there in Afghanistan. All that poppy production, all that stuff, off the charts. Now this man talking about the opiates and all this other crap here that exploded in this country. This is when they was in Vietnam, all that heroin and all that had exploded. Come on, man. You can't even think of these type of... You got a Frankenstein. This mind here of this guy we dealing with, man, is. I don't know how you come up with these type of things to destroy people. It's a sick mind that comes up with these type of new ways to destroy people. And that's one thing that we have to do. We got to protect our own natural resource here. Our natural resource here, like you said, is our children. Because this man, he got his own plan for our children. Oh, yeah. You see it being built on all these communities and these areas to give white folks jobs, building all these prisons. That's how he want to protect our natural resource, make money off of it. We got to come up with other ways to protect our resources and put protection on our children and families. Because he don't want to. He want to destroy them. He want to destroy black families.
Over and over again.
Yeah, so
as sport and as income.
Yeah, so your question remains, what are we going to do? That's the big question. Well, we come up to the end of another program, Richard, and looking forward to Sunday's broadcast tomorrow. We'll be airing a podcast of SST, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. It'll probably be around 10 o'clock as this program comes on. In the afternoon, scheduled Black Reality Think Tank is scheduled from 4 to 6 on Sunday morning. Revived. They had an interesting program Wednesday. I don't know whether you caught it, Richard.
No, I didn't.
They were talking about the Libyan situation. They asked, they got in contact with Scotty Reed, Black Talk Radio Network. He was on with them. They had a little panel discussion. Well, not a little panel discussion. They had a panel discussion with some young people. And their perspective on what was going on was very interesting. Very interesting. Some of the young people really didn't know what was going on, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. But then you had some that really had their finger on what was going on and gave a nice perspective on how they saw it. Sister POC put together a nice panel of young folks there. And that show is very interesting. Revived. Yeah. That's dedicated towards black millennials. Sister POC is 25. Her co-host is the same, 25, 26. So they draw in people of their age group, talk about these issues. Sure, they talk about popular issues sometime, but then they talk about issues that are pertinent to the struggle, our struggle, and you hear their perspectives. It's very interesting. I'd like the folks to start listening to Revive. She'll be on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then she's on again on Wednesday, 8 to 10. That's Revive with Sister POC on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You've got Brother Oshie with African Perspectives. Brother Oshie was out of town, I think, on Friday, so his program wasn't aired. But he'll be back on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 to 1 with African Perspectives. On Thursday, Ulu, Us Lifting Us, a black empowerment program that will be on from 9 to 11 on Thursday evenings. And we're back with Revive, with Time for Awakening on Friday at 8 p.m. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion as always. And Richard, I know you're breathing a sigh of relief because you didn't hear your buddy call up tonight. But don't worry.
I wonder what happened to him.
Don't worry. I guess he'll be back on Sunday, and we'll be back on Sunday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Are you watching your children playing after school? They seem to be so unaware. I know the thing that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turns to try and save the world. Right now they seem to play such a small part of. And little Mary, she said she got to teach school. If we know all we say we know about the problem.
To save the children.